Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's a big week for the Hope Center in Rapid City as it's National Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week. Now, the Hope Center provides many services such as phone and mail services, short and long-term storage, and a drop-in daycare center. Programs offered by the Hope Center include community resource referrals and advocacy. Melanie Tim is director, and she joins us today from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital Studio and SDPB's Rapid City Studio for an update. Hey, Melanie, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So we are all talking about National Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week, but you're talking about this need all year long. Tell us a little bit more about the Hope Center and what services you currently provide.
All right. Well, we are serving approximately 200 to 250 folks a day, and people come in for a variety of different reasons. As you mentioned, our mail service is very important. People need an address. It's difficult to move forward in trying to obtain employment or housing or just keeping in contact with your loved ones if you don't have an address where people know how to reach you. And we have a message board, so it helps people keep all of their appointments organized. People can contact us and we can leave messages for them. And it's just a central location for folks to check in and say, hey, I'm okay. And I'm trying to get my life organized and I'm trying to move forward and accomplish some things. We have a guest advocate and she does a lot of various services with guests, everything from building resumes and housing applications to obtaining identification, which is a really major need that we have for some of our folks.
Sure.
Sometimes they find themselves in vulnerable situations where they become victims of violence when they're living out on the street. And so their ID gets stolen or gets lost rather frequently. So we do storage where we hold on to those important documents for them and we help them replace those items because you can't get employment or housing if you don't have identification to prove who you are.
Right.
So that's a really big deal. We have been providing some clothing and winter wear, blankets, those kinds of items that people need when they're actually living out. For our folks that are not living out, when they do move in or transition into their own place, then we provide some household items for them. Some furniture, dishes, the things that they may need to get themselves established.
So it seems that sometimes you're providing that immediate need that might not be met anywhere else, but also trying to intervene in a cycle and sort of stopping a downward spiral or really, keeping things from being cumulative a little bit. Have you listened, as you develop your services, are you listening to the people who come in as guests say, this is the challenge they have, and then, figuring out, well, that's something that we can maybe work toward?
Yes, definitely. We are in constant communication with the people that we serve. We're a relationship-based organization. We have programs and we have opportunities for them, but it definitely that one-on-one communication is very important for what we do. We want to build trust with people. We want to empower them. We want to kind of help them understand that they have value in this world and that they can do the things that they would like to do. Sometimes it's just a confidence thing. Yeah. They've had some challenges when they were younger, and so maybe they just are not mentally and emotionally ready to take that next step and have confidence that they're going to be successful in that.
Yeah.
We start our day every day with a devotion, and it's really important part of our day. We have a lot of guests that are no longer homeless that come back, and they share their stories, and they sit with other guests, and they encourage and support them. And it's just a really powerful part of our day where people can just sit and breathe.
Yeah.
I had a guest say that last night, that I love the Hope Center because I get to just sit and breathe.
when we talk about, especially for a week of awareness, it's so easy to get wrapped up in the statistics that, when you look at what's happening systemically, but you can forget if you're not careful to really sit in that space of all these individual stories. No story could be the same. You must hear a completely different story every single time you listen to a guest and what their challenges are.
Yes. Yeah. And the stories, it really is what keeps us going, because just yesterday we actually had a guest pass away. Mm. And, you know, those are really hard times. And when these are your friends that you build relationships with and that you live with out on the streets, it puts our guests in just a really weary state. Trying to encourage them and listen and just be that person that says, hey, you are important. And when you're not here, you're missed.
Yeah. Weary is a really good word. That the weariness of being human with all these, the challenges that people are facing. You know, this week is important with different events and, raising awareness. But talk a little bit about beyond this week and the opportunities for volunteering and fundraising. And we're heading into a colder season. We're heading to what many people consider a holiday season. Tell us what happens after this week.
Well, for us, it's never ending. It's a daily responsibility to be there and to provide the services and do what we do. And honestly, this is a very tiny budget, and there's only 4 full-time employees, including myself. We do rely heavily on volunteers, and we have approximately 30 volunteers that come in and devote their time, and they do various things for the Hope Center. Some folks volunteer because they enjoy being organized, and so they take care of our donations and making sure that our guests have the clothing that they need and shoes and socks and mittens and those kinds of things. And we have other people that really enjoy that direct contact, passing out the mail and sorting the mail and organizing that. And we have others that just come and hang out and play pool with some of our guests, you know. So there's a nice fit for anyone. This morning when I left the center, we have a sewing class on Tuesdays. And so we had 2 ladies there. They come in with their sewing machines, and they help repurpose things. This is how you sew on a button. When your button comes off, don't throw your shirt away. We can help you figure that out, you know. And so it's just a lot of different life skills and things that people from the community can come into the center and share those experiences and that education with other folks that maybe have never had anybody show them.
Yeah. What kind of partnerships are you developing with, everyone from the police department or the school district or other folks in Rapid City and in the region that are helping kind of, you know, collaborate and coordinate to serve others?
Actually, the police department, we work very closely with them. We have the Quality of Life Unit here in Rapid City. One of their officers, Jerry Moore, he's a board member for the Hope Center, but he's also spends a portion of almost every day at the Hope Center doing various services and helping with issues regarding some of our guests. And it's a nice benefit to have him there. And it really alleviates a lot of animosity that some of our guests may have had with law enforcement. He comes in plain clothes. He's very non-threatening, not intimidating. And he sits and visits with our guests and talks about what kinds of things, you know, are challenging to you and how can law enforcement come alongside you and help you deal with some of those issues instead of always feeling like you're under attack, you know?
Sure.
So some of those kinds of conversations take place, which can be very beneficial and helpful. And in transportation, for some of our guests, it's very difficult in Rapid City. And so he kind of bridges a gap in that area, too. In Rapid City, for just example, the DMV is on the edge of town, and public transportation doesn't go out that far. So Jerry will provide transportation, you know, to and from when that's needed, just to be helpful and go the extra mile for some of our guests.
Right.
The school district, we have one of our special events tonight is actually coordinated with high school students, the Homeless Coalition Youth Task Force. I'm a member of that group, and so we host all of the meetings at the Hope Center and encourage young people to come and directly get involved. And they bring solutions to the table. You know, they participate in activities and they bring ideas on how we can make people aware as to what's going on around them. And the school district, you know, there are a lot of kids that have been identified in Rapid City as being homeless.
Right.
And we don't see a lot of them at the Hope Center because they're in school when we have our opening hours. But it's a big deal, and we like to provide those support services to their parents so that the kids can benefit from the services that their parents are receiving.
Yeah. What are some of the other things that you need this week? You're looking for blanket donations, and you have a ticketed event. Tell us a little bit about that for this week.
Blankets right now this week is a big thing. Our blanket giveaway is on Thursday from 4:30 to 6. And our ticketed event is Art for Hope. And we've restructured it this year to really focus on some of the talents that our guests have. It is an extremely talented group. And we have a painter by the name of Joel Bennett. He currently is homeless. And he has a very interesting story. When he was a child, his parents were missionaries. And so he traveled all over the world. And so his painting subjects are primarily portrait style of women of color based on some memories and people that he has met along his travels. And then we have a young woman who her story is, it's just very touching. Her life was all together, married with two kids, and there was some domestic violence, and she became very injured and suffered a traumatic brain injury due to the abuse. And that led to a divorce, which led to her and her children being homeless. And she is currently struggling with that issue. But through the midst of that, she taught herself how to bead. And so she's putting some pieces together to show us here at the event on Friday night, which will be at the Fork Reel Cafe in downtown Rapid City. And we're just excited to come alongside her and support her and encourage her in this new passion of hers of beading and trying to spread the word to women that, there is hope out there. And just because your circumstance changes and you're faced with a very difficult situation doesn't mean that you can't move forward.
You've seen some difficult living situations and life challenges. Have you also seen sort of transformations? And what are the stories that kind of keep you coming back to do the work that you do every day, hoping that there will be a breakthrough for someone?
We have a lot of success stories.
Yeah.
There's success in every day. Just being at the Hope Center, it's visible through visiting with people. One particular individual that comes to mind, she very angry, very bitter, in her 50s, and just life she feels like has never gone right for her. She had not had her own home for many, many years, not since she was a child. And she suffered with a little bit of an addiction concern, but not something that was impacting her life every day. It was just something that she chose to do to socialize. And so because of this anger that she just, pushed out onto everyone around her, it was very difficult for people to sit down and have a meaningful conversation with her and get to the bottom as to where that was coming from. And we did that, and she completely transformed to a whole new human being. And right away, various people, our volunteers noticed it, and various people in the community would contact me and say, what is going on? What is happening with this woman? She is not this awful, horrible, hateful, individual who's just rude and obnoxious, and she's very pleasant. And all it was taking the time. Taking the time to sit and say, hey, whatever's going on in your world, it's important and I want to know about it.
Right.
And I just want to hear what you have to say. And sometimes it's just that simple.
Well said. Melanie Tim is the director of the Hope Center in Rapid City. You can find them online, hopecenterrapidcity.org. You can follow them on Facebook. There are all kinds of ways to connect and help out. Thanks, Melanie. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.